Do you have any of those infamous 23,000 books with you to sell?
Believe it or not, I don't. One of the problems I've had is that 2 years ago, I don't know if you heard about it, but we're having like an economic problem. Only the people that are in office don't understand this, but I put this cause ahead of my own financial need because when you're out there, you're the only one out there. I've been paying for everything that we do for the past 6 years, and the companies that were supporting us are gone. I mean, they're literally out of business. Hundreds of employees, and they were providing the financial assistance we had. So I work a part-time job, and I'm at a job where I'm getting a call from people who are suicidal, and I have to go in the bathroom. Yeah, what do you want? You want to kill yourself? Okay, tell me about it. You got to realize how important that is. I was telling Doug, it's not like somebody's calling asking for the psychic hotline here. They're like, this is it. I'm going to kill myself. I'm leaving this planet if you don't give me a solution at the end of this phone call. And it's pretty serious. So I got a lot of tricks in my bag. I'll ask them, well, when's your next vacation? Well, I don't know. I don't have plans. Well, you need to make some. I don't care where you're going. I don't care if it's SeaWorld or you got to do something fun. I mean, once a week, you got to do something goofy, like go bowling, do something that you wouldn't normally do. Right now, you're in a pattern, and your choices have been limited to one. One choice is no choice. Two is a dilemma, and three is and more is personal freedom. So I got to give people solutions like, hey, what kind of social organizations do you belong to? When's the last time you've been there? You got to hang out with other people. You got to have cognitive interaction. The TV's not working. I recommend people make a list of 45 things that make life worth living for. If you can't come up with 45 things, then don't go kill yourself. Start out with two and three. Build on that. I always tell guys, hey, this is a great gift. You have this list and you have it in your pocket and you're on a date and you keep bringing the list out and the girl will ask you, what are you doing? Well, I'm just nothing. And then eventually you're going to say, what are you doing? Well, I'm just putting you on my list. What list? The list of things that make life worth living for. Yeah, see? I don't want to hear anybody misusing that. But the point of that list is that you have this list with you if you're prone to depression. You take this list, you have it in your pocket, getting depressed, you pull the list out and you start going, oh, I like ice cream. Close your eyes and you think about ice cream. It's going to release dopamine and it'll take you out of the depression. You think about what it tastes like, smell, how good it is to swallow, and don't think it through where you have to go to a diet and stuff like that, but stay with the feeling. You can get the book in a PDF or MOBI or whatever with Kindle. It's on the website. You can buy it for $6. Download it and you can read it. I'm in the process of adding to it because at the time I wrote the book, I believed you were going to go to hell. And if you killed yourself, you're going to hell. I wrote that in there. So I have to revise that because of the study that was done. And my beliefs have been changed by the results. And I'm result-oriented. I say, well, that's not right. That's not correct. And I don't want people thinking they're hopeless and they're going to go to hell if they kill themselves. I don't want you to kill yourself, but there are other solutions, and I'm going to put those in the book as well. And the other thing is, too, sunlight. It's very important we get sunlight because it gives us vitamin D. And it actually builds our bones and causes us to be more alert. God put everything here. We just forgot how to use it. And praying. Of course, praying is going to help because then you're going to end up in someplace like this. And you're going to hear about heaven and hell. Because there's no accidents. Nobody's here by accident. And you came here for a reason. Either you're suicidal or want to know about heaven and hell.
I'd like to talk a little bit or hear a little bit more about the side effects you talk about. And that if you received those gifts or side effects when you were 12, how did they change after your suicide attempt? And how do you deal with on a daily basis to quiet them when you walk into a room and you feel people's distress, or you have this stuff going on in your head? How do you learn to to disconnect them when you walk into a room or you deal with people on a daily basis?
The side effects actually are one of the least talked about things about near-death experiences, which is kind of odd to me because they're the most apparent things that happen to us as individuals when this happens. And I thought this is the part where we start questioning our sanity because we like call people. I get tired of people saying, I was just going to call. I really do get tired of that because I think of somebody and I call them and they say, well, I was calling you or I was thinking about you or whatever. Okay, let's get past that. Forgot who you're talking to here, you know? So those things, those don't bother me because I know usually they need to talk to me and I'm going to help them. The other thing is like the empathic ability, because that's very strong with me. For a long time, I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I could be driving down the road and a vehicle will go by, it looks like a tumbleweed flying by. I mean, literally like sparks flying off and stuff. And I used to know what to do about that. It was, I just like, oh, I'm going to take a different way home type thing. And now I like pray for that person and immediately it dissipates, phew, gone. Instantaneously, which I didn't have that before. And it was, I don't know if it was accident or God said, hey, pray for this person or whatever, but when I was 12, the only thing that dissipated any of those was drugs and alcohol, which is kind of funny because I read about alcohol in the past, and it used to be called spirits. You were indulging in witchcraft, spiritual. You were inviting a doorway in for spirits into your soul. If you do the research, you'll find this stuff out. And I was like, wow, no wonder, because I cut the connection off with God when I did that. It's like playing with the Ouija board, you know. It's like, oh, this is fun. This is all of a sudden demons around you. It's like, no, this isn't fun. So it's a gateway. It is a gateway drug, but deeper than just to another drug. It's to something disturbing. And the like I said, praying is what I do now. I pray for people. I could be talking and I'm praying about somebody over here. I'm not pointing at you. I'm just saying that. I'll pray for you though.
When you were speaking to Jesus Christ, did you feel his love and his compassion towards you? When he put his hand on you and grabbed you, did you feel his love for you that he has for all of his children?
It was much deeper than that. Like I said, it's so personal. It's like it could have been just me and him in the universe. And it's that way with everybody. It's like he knows every single person intimately. And he gives his full attention to everybody, which is amazing to me. That's the only thing that is God. There's no other explanation for that type of attention. The bad news is that he wants me to do stuff I don't want to do a lot. Like up here, I don't want to do this. Not that I don't like you. I mean, I like you people. Some of you, I'm sure. I have to get to know you. I mean, it's like, but to get up here is not in my character. And God's like, you got to go do this, but it's not going to be easy to do this. And it's a test of my following him. I ask God for direction, and he gives me direction. I don't like the direction. You know, it's like guys don't want to ask for directions to the 7-Eleven. It's like the same thing. It's like, well, you got to go this way and that way. Well, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way, and, you know, X is with Y. And they know X is with A. Saying, God, make me more useful. So I pull up to a light, and there's a guy with the sign, you know, need money. I look over and I hear the voice, give him all your money. And I go, what are you talking about? I'm talking to myself in the car. I ain't giving him my money. He's a bum. I don't got any money. This is all I got. This is literally all I got right here. 50, 40 some bucks right there. I go, I need that. No, you give him the money. I'm serious. I'm having this conversation. I mean, it's a busy intersection. And literally the light does not change. It goes through a cycle. I'm not making this up. This is serious. And he's not walking around the other cars. He's standing right at my window. And they look, it's busy. There's lots of people here giving money. And so I go, whatever. I roll in here. Go away. And the guy falls to the ground and starts crying. He didn't even know how much I gave him. You know, I don't like doing God's will, but I ask for it all the time. And then I get put in these situations where it's like, okay, that's God's will. It's not something like a big billboard, like here, turn here. It's very subtle. And I don't have a choice. Once I ask for it, it's like, follow through. You got to follow through. And it's like, I'm more backed against the wall. I'm like, okay, you know, I don't do your will. What's the option? Oh, hell. Oh, yeah, I don't like that place. That's not a good place. I said I would do anything if you'd take me out of here. Oh, now I've got conditions. This ain't such a bad place. He's like, okay, thank God I'm not like being used every second. It's like, okay, he gives me slack. Go over here and play this game for a little while. You know, relax. I'm going to call you in a few minutes. Pay attention.
You mentioned earlier that we have gifts and abilities that we don't even know about. Could you elaborate on that and maybe explain how we can get in touch with those?
Let me get my... Believe it or not, I have my own book. I have two copies left. Let's see here. That's the book, by the way. So if you wanted to look at it, I need that back. Well, the original book was 1995. Some of the things I have here, we have 500 to 700 different special skills and ability, every single one of us. That's amazing. This stuff just blows me away. There are 10 to 100 trillion cells in our body. And there are two cells that we have that last 50 years each. This is good news for the older people. The brain cells, they live for 50 years, and then you get a new set. So that's why people like have a different start when they get to 50. They have, hey, I got new cells, you know. So the brain can store 100 trillion facts. And we can access those facts in an instant. That's amazing. The mind can handle 15,000 decisions a second. A second. There's not a computer fast enough. All these things I'm listening, if we had a computer, it would take a kilowatt of power. That's like enough power to power a small city. So that would be enough to power a small city, and we have that in our head on low wattage, like DC. That's amazing. The nose can detect up to 10,000 different odors. 10,000. That's good for people who are smell people. Unless they smell bad. Your touch can detect 25 thousandths of an inch. If touch people, feel people. Our tongue can taste one part quinine to 2 million parts water. That's amazing. We are thoughts. That's why when you're thinking about something, are you thinking about a thought in here? Think about this for a second. When you're thinking about a vacation you took, is that memory actually inside your head? Or are you thinking out somewhere else? It's outside of you. It's actually not inside here. When you physically think about something, you're thinking outside of yourself. That's a spirit. The spirit's bigger than we are. We're actually pretty small, limited in this body. This is the most amazing thing. One human cell has over 1 million. This is one cell. There's 100 trillion of these. One cell has over 1 million different mechanical motors creating a chemical change every second interacting with other cells. That's amazing. When you hypnotize somebody, you could say, this is a cigarette, and put it on your hand, and it will actually blister the skin. So my answer to that is, this is my finger, I'm healing you, boom, when you're on the hypnosis, which is not hypnosis, I don't like using that word. It's more a state of subconscious, is what I like to call it. Because everyone in this room is in a state of subconscious state, just driving here. Most of you don't even remember how you got here. You just remember coming here, and you're here. Oh, how'd I get here? You were in a state of subconscious, and that's what hypnosis is. It puts you into that state, and then guides you through a healing process. It's pretty amazing. It's amazing if you know how to use that technology. The other list of other gifts, actually the truth is everybody has these gifts. The clairvoyance, the empathic, you're just not in tune with it because you are so in this world. And to get out of this world takes deep, serious prayer. You have to get closer to God. I don't know if you want to ask for that stuff because then you're going to need somebody to teach you how to live with that stuff. You know, ignorance is bliss.
My question is, do you do phone sessions? I have a daughter that just had a stillborn 6 months ago, and I don't believe that she's suicidal, but I really liked how you talked about the spike of emotions and how we hold these experiences in that place.
I do, and I would recommend you emailing me so that I can send you that special EMR chart that will allow her to... Basically, I'm going to tell you what it is. There's this chart that I have that you put on the wall, and it's got numbers and letters on it. And you will stand in front of this chart, and you do what the chart says. First of all, you have to get into a state of mind that's disturbing you. It could be instantaneous. This could be, my husband just pissed me off. I don't want to be pissed off. I got to go to dinner. You know, I want to be nice and happy at dinner. So you go and stand in front of this chart, and you look at the chart, and it'll say, raise your right arm. Raise your left arm. Clap. And you go through this whole chart, and you keep remembering about the thing that's the memory that's causing you problems. And then at the end of the chart, you're trying to focus on what it says to do so much that it starts deleting the memories, the emotional attachment you have to what it is you're thinking about. And then you, if that doesn't work, then there's a second phase where you're going through it and you actually raise your right arm and right leg and you're going like this and you're trying to focus on, oh, I just lost my baby. But that's pretty intense emotional spike, what you're talking about. And I have worked with people who have lost children, not only to suicide, but just accidents. And they can't get past it. And the churches call me in to help because they can't help. I'm a specialist. I'm more than just a suicide prevention expert. I come in and I deal with the spiritual aspect of what's going on in the house. And I tell them, I go, this is an attack on you. You know, I've had people email me and say, your book, thank you. Because they lost their toddler. They drowned in the pool and they wanted to make sure they didn't suffer before they drowned. That's about as deep as it gets right there. But if you want to email me, I'll send you that chart. And it does help that. And the smile therapy too with her. And I have that instruction guide for her as well.
I know what you're talking about when you're at the stoplight, get messages, give the homeless. I have that all the time too. Go in the grocery store. I'll go up to somebody and say, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I got to tell you something. And they'll say, I've been waiting to hear that message. And I talk to myself all the time. You have to tell this person this. I say, I can't do it. They don't know me. So I understand what you're talking about because I have traveled to the other side. I know what it's like. I saw the light. I have not seen hell. But it does make you feel like you're going nuts a little bit. Okay, and then every time that I have to give a message to somebody, they said they've been waiting to hear that. And the spirits do not leave me alone until I give that message. And that is my hell. Because I say, leave me alone. I can't do that. You got to do it, Sarah. You got to do it. So after I give my message, then I have peace. Then I can rest. So I'm glad I'm not alone. That I'm not going crazy.
This book was the exact same thing because I got this message, write a book. And I'm like, I don't want to write a book.
Right.
I have no desire to write a book.
Right. I don't want to talk. Yeah. I don't want to talk in front of people. I don't want to do this. I don't want to tell this person this. I don't even know this person. And I'm embarrassed. I go, please forgive me if I offend you anyway, but this is the message I have to give you. And they said, you don't know how long I've been waiting to hear that. So I understand it's a very emotional thing because I can feel good, I can feel bad. I know what they're up to, what they have done. And what I've done to help me is because I used to eat my emotions. Now I don't eat them anymore. Now I have to deal with the problem. And I've had a mentor, Betty, that's helped me and my friend to realize my gift is that that when the more messages you give, you get and receive and give, the more he uses you. And they don't leave you alone. So I just want you to know that I understand completely what you're talking about. You're not nuts because I go through the same thing every single day. And I helped a lot of people out through, I've heard the most horrible things. But one thing I do at night is I pray every night to take, to lift this from me so it does not bother me because I will cry. I mean, I don't want to live in this life anymore. I can't handle all the criminals out there. People will come to me and tell me their deepest, darkest secrets. I don't want to hold that anymore. And so I give it to God to hold. And after I help them, I forget what sin or whatever they have told me. So that's a great help is prayer. So I just wanted to share that with you.
That's the part of the, when people are suicidal, that's the part that the spiritual part of it is, in order for people to get past their problems, they have to confess with their lips to another person and God. And once they do that, it's relieved from them. Because it's the secrets that get us sick and keep us sick.
Yes, and I don't want to keep that because I say how good they are. They can overcome this. You're not this. God, this is my message always. And it's emotional how much God loves them and how he wants them to come back. That's my message to every single one. And I've heard some horrific things, some horrible things. And it was really hard for me at first, and I'd eat my emotions because I just couldn't believe I lived amongst these monsters that are called humans, you know, that I thought, and I said, Father, please help me and lift it and forget it. And then I've had mentors along the way that have helped me to know what my gift is and how to handle it.
Thank you.
And we're here to love each other. You know that? That's it. And to help each other out. I don't care what you look like. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care if that person has no arms, no legs. We're here to help each other and unconditional love. That's all I want to say.
It's really important that my perspective of sin, there is no sin worse than another. It's all bad. It's all bad in God's eye. Sin is sin. There's no like levels. Oh, I killed somebody. Oh, I thought bad about somebody. They're both equal. He doesn't like it. It's beyond our control to stop it. And you have to ask for that help.
How can you attract angels and how can you get rid of demons?
Why would you want to attract angels?
Because they would help you and I'm sure that...
Well, they're around you even though you're... You know, angels... The bad news about angels, they won't leave you alone, but the bad news is, guess what they're doing when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing? No, they're weeping in an uncontrollable, unaudible sound to God for your soul. So think about the next time you want to ask for angels to be around you, because they're around you all the time. You may not know it. That disturbs me, because I'm thinking, wow, I don't want them around me all the time, just when I want them around. Think about it. They're around you all the time. If they were not around you all the time, you would probably be dead. Because there is a dark force. I was telling Doug this. You can go into any room that's pitch black. Pitch black. Light a match. It illuminates the whole room. You can't do that with dark. You can't go in this room and say, hey, here's a piece of dark. It won't do anything. The light always puts out the dark. It's amazing. So that means that, hey, God's in control. And he can help us through anything.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Let's give him another hand.